Okay, so بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي.
My Lord, expand for me my breast with assurance and ease for me my task and untie the knot from my tongue that they may understand my speech.
Assalamu alaikum everyone. My name is Mehri.
And my name is Zainab.
And we are your co-hosts for today.
We're here to bring light to the questions that you may have as young Muslims.
And how might we do that, you might ask?
Well, by bringing various female speakers, some very well known, some that may surprise you, so that we can sit together over a table and talk about the things that really matter. Today, we're joined by a very, very special guest who is a university student, a MATW charity ambassador, an Ustada in the making, Kurdish, which is a very rare find I've heard, and a former youth worker. I mean, the list goes on. It is our very own Raz Aziz.
Now, Raz, if you'd like to tell us about yourself, the floor is all yours.
Assalamu alaikum. I think you guys said everything. I'm shocked. I feel like I've got like my whole police identity on.
That's what happens when you're a celebrity.
Pardon?
That's what happens when you're a celebrity.
If you could sum yourself up in 2 minutes to someone who hasn't met you before, how would you introduce yourself?
So like, talking about yourself. but if someone's like, hey, how are you? What are you? Like, I'm just trying to be a slave of Allah. Like, I remember Dania Ayul, she was always like at her workshops and stuff. She was like, you're not a mom. You're not an engineer. You're not a doctor. You're not a teacher. Like, you're a slave of Allah and everything else you do on the side. So my side things would be this uni degree I am trying to finish so bad. What else?
What do you study?
I am studying engineering and teaching. So inshallah, I'm trying to finish that as soon as possible. I'm involved in charity work and involved in the da'wah in the community up here in the hills and online as well.
As you already know, the Raz does a lot of things. Raz is not a one uni student. She's not like everyone else. She is an inspiring role model for people like us. And as we go down the podcast, I'm sure all of us are going to unveil a little bit more about Raz. I know she's a bit shy to speak about herself, but
there's no need.
There's no need for an introduction in my books.
So Raz, you recently started a podcast called Hadaf. What does that really mean? Do you want to tell us about how you came about making a podcast and what led you to it?
Yeah, so subhanAllah, I actually have a very, very big soft spot for podcasts because before I was practicing, it was actually podcasts that like paved my way into the deen. I remember I found this girl doing podcasts. She was a Kurdish girl. She was doing podcasts with her husband. She was actually Christian. That's a funny thing. The fact that that random Kurdish girl from America, Christian, brought me to my deen is like so funky, but just shows how like Allah's the best of planners. And I was following her on Instagram and I'm like, and I found out that she had a podcast and I'm like, oh my God, how interesting. Let me listen. And then from there, it went into different, Muslim Central had like all these different speakers. And it's when I first came across Mufti Meng and Yasmin Mujahid and all of those. And because as a youth worker, I used to drive a lot as well. So I would have like the time of the world, like just in my car. And for me, that was like crazy. Like, I'm so thankful for that time. At the time, I used to hate driving all those hours. But now I'm like, if it wasn't for that, I don't know how else I would have been guided. And so I love podcasts. I'm more of like a waffler. I find it difficult to sit down and read. If anything, I have books and I only read them before I go to bed because it helps me go to sleep. So in terms of podcasts, I love listening to them and it's such a wonderful outlet and it's very personal as well compared to like all other platforms of giving da'wah. And so, yeah, I actually started my podcast like a solid almost 2 years ago, but I am so lazy and one thing after the other, it just never became like a solid consistent thing, or it would take forever to start, or like self-doubt and all these kinds of things. Mostly laziness. And then it's only like I'd say like this year I'm trying to take it more consistently. And sort of, it's, I know a lot of sisters around the world. Alhamdulillah, I've got like my online halaqa with girls from all around the world. And we're actually very, very blessed here in Sydney to have this outlet, to have this sisterhood at every single corner you turn. And people don't have that. People don't have a single person like my, like I just look at myself growing up. I grew up in Pimble and I grew up here in the hills.
Mm-hmm.
I never had that Muslim friend or that Muslim person. Like I remember doing placement at Kalara High School and this kid named Yusuf, like I'm just walking around the classroom like monitoring. And this kid's like, Miss, are you Muslim? I'm like, yeah. He's like, me too. And I'm like, Salaam alaikum. Like just seeing another Muslim out there or having someone talk to you, like I'm your Muslim older sister, let's chat. The impact it can have on people because I wanted it growing up. Mm-hmm. And so sort of like the hadaf behind it. And hadaf sort of means like purpose, like target. Like that bullseye that you see is like a, hadaf is a word for it. And, you know, we're all trying to find our purpose on this life in whatever means we can to reach it. So let's talk about it.
I mean, that's a very meaningful way to, you know, get your word and story out there, because the way us as people connect is through stories. Yeah. Is the Quran in itself, if you open it up, it's full of stories. And subhanAllah, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has like created this connection of people through storytelling. And you've said in your podcast that, you know, you created Hadaf so that you can inspire Muslims through conversation and reflections. And I think you've pretty much delivered that in the podcast you have had so far on your Hadaf stream. Now, what is, in terms of, you know, the first thing I would like to ask, you know, I would like to start with this hadith. Abu Huraira reported, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man is upon the religion of his best friend, so let one of you look at whom he befriends. And looking at this hadith, I would like to ask you one question. What is the importance of surrounding yourself with good Muslims?
Honestly, your surroundings can make or break you. Like you can find the most pious family and the kid raised in the best environment and everything, and all it takes is one friend to lead them astray. And subhanAllah, it goes the opposite way. You could find a non-believer, like the biggest atheist out there, the biggest atheist upbringing, the biggest atheist family and environment, and it could take that one friend that could lead them to Islam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, like, you are upon the deen, like the way of life of your friend, I mean, can we argue? It's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And even beyond that, in the Quran, one of the regrets of the people in the hellfire is, I wish I didn't take so-and-so as a friend. And it's, your surrounding is, it's important how you passively surround yourself as much, as important as it is as how you actively surround yourself. Because in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he uses the example of a musk seller and a blacksmith.
Mm.
Even if you go into the blacksmith shop and you don't buy anything, you're just there and you come out, you still have that soot smelling around you and you still accumulate some of that dust. And same example with the musk seller. Even if you just go into the shop, even if you don't buy anything and you're not interacting with him or anything, you will come out at least smelling a bit better because of the perfume that's around there. And subhanAllah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man, if we only applied like what, two of these hadiths just at university, can you see the impact it will have on our lives? And subhanAllah, so the impact of your surroundings, it can make or break you. It can honestly make or break you. Like the fact that one of the regrets, like this Quran, it's very short and concise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gave us like a handful of regrets of the people of the hellfire. And usually it's, I want to go back, I want to pay more charity. I want to be of the good doers. I want to, I wish I prayed more. I was of those people that didn't pray. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically quoted that person in hellfire saying, I wish I didn't take so-and-so as a friend. Like, think about it, man. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in the Quran, maybe I think I should take, you know, note of who I take as my friend. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a couple of hadiths, it's important. Like, it's very, very important.
What would you say to someone who goes like, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, as long as I'm on my deen, nobody can sway me. I'm sure, you know, each to their own, as long as, you know, I'm not, you know, minding my business and, you know, not really dictating another person's life, we can be friends. What would you say to someone like that?
Good for her. Do you trust yourself more, or do you trust what the Prophet ﷺ said? If you trust yourself more, then good for you. See where you end up. But if you are like, you know what? I know who I am. I know the values I have, and maybe I can change this person. Always put your akhirah above everything. Yes, like it's, you can be acquaintances, especially at uni. You need quote unquote friends, like in every single subject. I'm telling you, the friends I have in my math class, they carry me. Like we do it together. I'm not there, like in terms of that. You need friends to build you up in that sense. Like Bianca from my math class, she helps me so much. But I'm not going to go to her for hijab advice or boy advice, because what advice is she going to give me? No, what I mean, like, you have people that, it doesn't mean you just block off from everyone and you're just, you know, I'm just this gremlin rolling around in uni because you guys are all kuffar and you're going to take me. Relax. Know what I mean? Go to math with Bianca, you know. But at the same time, when Bianca wants to go and do her assignment and she's like, hey, let's just do it at the pub. Oh, you know, it's going to be awkward for you to reject that. Whereas Fatima, we'd hope she wouldn't say that to you. You know what I mean? Just examples. And it's like, as I said, you can have as many people as you want around you, but don't trust yourself. Trust what the Prophet ﷺ said. You're good. Good on you. You can give da'wah. Good on you. But like, you can see sheikhs going the wrong way, and you can see people on the wrong way. The Prophet ﷺ was the man that came to guide every single one of us. And the most frequent dua on his heart, on his tongue, was, O turn of the hearts, keep my heart firm upon your religion. Yani, if the Prophet ﷺ made this dua, who do you think you are? Good on you. You have good intentions, most likely. But at the same time, the Prophet said that you are upon the deen of your friend. That deen is like way of life. You're going to follow it. Because when Bianca decides to go to the club for the assignment, you know, you say, you know, I'm only going to take the apple juice. You're still around that alcohol. You think it's only a matter of time until you have that sip. And then you go to that party. Everything follows each other, like, so much quicker than you think. You know what I mean? It's good for you. You have a beautiful intention. May Allah reward you. But always be cautious of your deen. Care enough about yourself to care about your akhirah. Because, like, as I said, the Prophet made that dua. So you make that dua and you act upon that dua. If you want Allah to turn your heart to his deen, at least take the precautions of not following Bianca to the club or the pub, or you know what I mean. Sorry, I don't even have a friend called Bianca. I'm just using her name as an example.
Bianca's going to be happy about this, but as long as someone
has use like white names as examples now, because mashallah, everyone's like reverting.
Yeah.
So they got married to a Matthew. I'm like, I can't use Matthew in a white boy example anymore.
I really think it makes sense, because as much as we can want the best and assume the best of certain circumstances or situations, if Islam is a way of life, and if a certain way of life has been dictated to us, like your do's and your don'ts, don't do this, then we should seek advice rather than, you know, knowingly turn a blind eye to advice and then just go about doing our own things and then later have regret. Because like you said, you know, one of the biggest regrets in hellfire would be, I shouldn't have taken so-and-so as my friend. Now,
speaking of du'as from the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Fadr reported, the Prophet, peace be upon him and his blessings, said, verily you will never leave anything for the sake of Allah Almighty, but that Allah will replace it with something better for you. From your experience, what is the impact of finding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And for someone who wants to be something, someone practicing, how can this affect them and their personal social level?
SubhanAllah, I think, like, we take it for granted. Like the Prophet ﷺ says that you leave it, Allah will replace it with better. And we think, you know, like if I leave this alcohol, Allah will give me like this really sweet tasting apple juice. Like we have a very limited...
This apple juice reference is key.
I love apple juice.
Wait.
The halal one, of course. Like we think of like this one-to-one thing, but we don't understand that you leave it, Allah will open doors that you didn't even know existed. Something I can just like think of is, before I started practicing, like I only had one friend from school. Like after high school, I just sacked everyone because, you know, I can't wait to finish high school to just leave everyone. Anyway, that was me. And so I just had this one friend, and you know, we would go out every single Friday. Even if it wasn't to bad places, we would just go out and even like just sit in the car in front of my house or in front of her house and just talk. Like it wasn't necessarily anything bad, but there was no good coming from it, if you know what I mean. And so even if we just went out to eat every single Friday, da, 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 like we would go out a lot. Even if it was just in our backyard or in our front yard, we would spend a lot of time together. And she's a beautiful girl, non-Muslim, but she's Allah guided to Islam. She's got a very warm heart. And subhanAllah, like I just wanted, this is when I started listening to my podcast and I'm like, I want something else. Like, you know what I mean? Like this isn't fulfilling to me anymore. Like I have so much fulfillment in the car by myself listening to a podcast than I am hanging out with you, even though this used to be so much fun in my eyes. But it was because fresh out of high school, it's so hard to give that up, you know, to tell your friends no or those kinds of things. And subhanAllah, I just decided on Fridays to purposely pick up more shifts because I wanted to leave that environment. Even though it wasn't necessarily anything bad, I wanted to leave that environment. So I picked up extra shifts on Friday. And subhanAllah, like 3 months later, I find myself in a jilbab, driving back from the masjid, listening to a nasheed, and actually feeling like happy and like content. And I'm like, what a loser. You actually went from that to that and you feel more happy and content here. And subhanAllah, I think I remember that drive. It was from Auburn Masjid. I just got into the Gallipoli Girls. And then I was driving back home and I'm like, subhanAllah, I straight away in that moment, I pinpointed it back to that moment where I gave up going out with my friends. And as I said, it's not like I gave up going out with my friends and Allah sent me better friends. Allah sent me like amazing sisters. Allah sent me a beautiful environment. Allah put the love of modesty in my heart. Allah blessed me with inviting me to learn His Quran and learn His deen. See what I mean? It's not a one-to-one thing that you give up. And subhanAllah, I think it was Ibn al-Qayyim, my friend was telling me the other day, she was like proper actual righteousness isn't in terms of what you do, it's in terms of what you don't do. Like right now, especially with Ramadan coming up, for most of us, pretty easy to give up fast. It's pretty easy to give up our food to fast. It's easier to fast. It's easier to pray in Ramadan. But tell me to stop messaging Muhammad. Now that's hard. Hard to give that up. Know what I mean? There's no Muhammad, guys, but I'm just saying, it's like, you know, if anything, we have like our youth like texting each other like, hey, did you eat suhoor? Did you wake up? Like, I will give up my food and water, but I will not give up the satisfaction I get from speaking to this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, you need to realize that the more you give up, the more that you get. And if you give something up and you don't get anything but that contentment in your heart, wallahi, you are the richest person in the world. Know what I mean? It's just that struggle. It's just that fight of the nafs. I mean, look at the people in Gaza right now. They are so disconnected to this dunya. Give them anything, take away anything from them. Does it shake their iman at all? But here, because we are so controlled by our nafs, the second we lose something or the second we are asked to give up something, it's the end of the world. We can't deal with it. So it's just give it up, but learn how to give it up through other ways. Start slow, be consistent. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he will replace it with better. And once again, do you trust the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If he says Allah will give you better, why aren't you giving it up? Like, are you stupid? Allah will give you better. Give it up, man. You can do it. Wallahi, you can do it. Especially with Ramadan coming up. I don't know when this episode's going out, but you can do it. Like, you can give it up wherever you are in your life. And from now till the grave, there's going to be a constant struggle. You are always going to be fighting your nafs, trying to give something up and give something up. Until you enter your grave, until you die, you are constantly going to be in a struggle between your nafs. So learn how to control yourself and stop like diving into everything you want. Like, just relax, give it up. Allah will give you better.
I think what you actually posted this on your Instagram page, this exact same hadith, and you wrote as the title of the caption, breaking your nafs. So I think it's a great way to tie it in. And you're sort of going back into this topic that a lot of the times when we have to give something up for Allah's sake, it's fighting our nafs, breaking our nafs in order to do that. It's what do I want and what Allah wants. And sometimes it's hard for us to, you know, when not knowing the future, trust what Allah will give me in return. But you leave that to Allah. You don't go to a millionaire and ask him for a dollar. You would ask for as much as possible. So Allah is the one who owns the universe. Why are you limiting yourself to Allah will give me, you know, apple juice for alcohol? Leave what Allah will give you in exchange, whether it's contentment, whether it's Jannah. So I think the biggest thing you can get by giving something for the sake of Allah, like you said, is contentment. And nothing can give you contentment. And from that topic of what, looking on the other side of this coin, let's say someone does give up something for the sake of Allah. Let's say they change their life completely around. How hard is it to fit in today's society as a Muslim, as a practicing Muslim, where individuality is encouraged, where, you know, we should accept everyone? Are we really, really accepted as Muslims in today's society?
If anything, they tell you to be everyone except for yourself. It's like, go be you, but only if you're lesbian, if you're gay, only if you want to change your gender, only if you want to support what we support. Being you, just not the Muslim person. You know what I mean? Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that there will come a time where holding onto your deen is like holding onto hot coal? Yeah. I dare you right now, go and get a hot coal from a Lebanese barbecue, not from a shisha lounge, and put it on your hand and feel how, like, try and hold onto that. That, you know, even if you leave a burn mark on your hand, it should be right, like, it'll heal. But every single time you look at the palm of your hand, remember, like, holding onto my deen is like holding onto this fire. It's easy to let go. It is so easy to be not righteous because you will fit in every single way. But the second you have boundaries for yourself, the second you put what Allah wants over what you want, you're going to be a stranger. And didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that Islam began as something strange and it will end as something strange? So glad tidings to the strangers. Take pride in being a stranger. Take pride in not fitting in, because you're not meant to fit in. Like, what's the normal thing right now? It's just, in university. Go around wearing rainbow lanyards. Go and, what's it called? What else is there to do? Be a man and wear a mini skirt. Be a woman and shave your head. That is like, hats off to you, 10 out of 10. Come into our societies. We want to give you grants and scholarships. That's our perfect individual person. When it's just like it's like when you create an avatar, then you know how you have the option to like put a different bottom on and then you put a different top on. They're trying to make the most like obnoxiously strange avatar and make that as the ideal person. But it's like, oh, put a black outfit on and just don't speak to anyone. It's like, oh my God, yuck. You are anyone but creative.
Just like walking away from your true fitrah, like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you and what you find peace in, you're literally doing the opposite.
And shaitan says in the Quran that I will make them change your creation. Is that not what we are seeing? So, and the thing is, you're never going to please people. You are never, ever going to please people and fit in. And it's not me. Once again, it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that if you live your life trying to please the people, even though you are displeasing Allah. So if you live your life thinking, you know, you go to university and you have a somewhat decent hijab, but you get into class and, you know, everyone else is not wearing hijab. So I might make my, you know, abaya a bit not abaya-ing and put on some jeans and some tops and, you know, to try and fit in. Like, yes, I'm still wearing hijab, but I want my clothes to be the same as them. Let me try and please them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you go about your life trying to please the people at the displeasure of Allah, not only do you get Allah displeased with you, but the people will never be pleased with you. But if you live your life, and this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, if you live your life trying to please Allah, even though it might displease the people, not only will Allah be pleased with you, but He will make the people be pleased with you as well. So it's like, dumb. It's a win-win situation. Go there. Stop. And once again, it's hard. It's hard to give up, you know, people pleasing. It's hard to give up, you know, I don't think this looks nice or it's not cool in this situation. But do it for the sake of Allah. Stop trying to please them. They will never, ever be happy with you, especially the non-Muslims, because this applies to like Muslims as well. SubhanAllah, even in your own family, once you start to become practicing, oh, you're a, what's it called? What do they call it? Yeah, you're an ISIS queen, aren't you? You're one of them, huh?
You're a shayer.
Oh, here comes the sheikh again. You know what? They give those comments and sometimes it hurts more than the outside people. Know that you're a stranger, even in your own family, even at university. Like, the only time you're going to find comfort is amongst righteous people. And even then, you can still look at yourself like as a stranger. But that's the natural essence of where we're supposed to be. So it's fine. Like, if anything, find like contentment and enjoy being by yourself. Like, being a loner is so underrated. Like, you'd rather be a loner than wasting all of your energy and your social battery trying to please people. It's not going to get you anywhere. You're only going to hurt yourself.
Literally. And Islam is a hurdle in the beginning. When you start becoming a bit practicing, everything might become a hurdle. Like, you might lose friends. You might maybe lose some short-term opportunities. But in the long run, when you really stick to it, when you stick to your disciplines, not only do people around you start respecting your boundaries, but you start it starts becoming easy for you. Your life is at more at peace. You're away from a lot of the haram, so your heart is preserved. You're away from the sicknesses of the heart. You're more connected with your fitrah. So in the long run, Islam becomes a blessing for you. It's just that initial giving up and breaking your nafs that may really, really test your, you know, that tawakkul and what does Allah hold for me in the future.
And it's hard because you're coming from a place like you're so used to everything that's around you. Like, acknowledge your struggle. It's fine. Like, it's a big step. And remember that the greater the struggle, the greater the reward. And that's something only unique to Islam because, for example, let's go back to maths. Me and Bianca, we could, you know, both be, I could be studying so hard and Bianca can just be a goat and she can just understand everything straight away.
Yeah.
Even though I worked 7,000 times harder than her, in the end, if she passes and I fail by one mark, they don't care who did more effort. They look at the mark and that's it. You are judged based off your results and khalas, that's it. But Allah judges you and He rewards you based off how much you struggle. Even if no one sees, even if for you, it is so hard to just say no to your friend in regards to going to this spot. Or if it's so hard for you to, you know, put that hijab on in that right way, or even put that hijab on, you get rewarded based off that struggle. You get rewarded based off how hard it is for you because you are giving up something greater to you. Maybe for you, wearing hijab is a hard thing. Wearing hijab properly is a hard thing. And for me, it might be something easy. But you're going to get rewarded more every single time you try to put it on and every single time you put it on because every single time you put it on, you are renewing your intention. Like, Ya Allah, this is hard. Right now, I hate it. But I'm doing it because you told me. And I love you, Ya Allah. So help me in this. And Allah will make it easier. And if anything, you're going to miss that sincerity you had at the beginning when you're giving up something for the sake of Allah. Because at that point, you're really connected and you're really put to the test. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, but when you do it like later on, it becomes routine towards yourself. And so it's just keep in there. As you said, it's the hard part that it's the beginning that's the hard part.
Like they say, there's always a rainbow or sunshine after a storm. So just endure through the storm. Like, you know, we just everyday people. Even the prophets had their own trials and tribulations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you know, we know that he could not even, you know, as much as he gave dawah, he couldn't change the heart of his own uncle. You know, we can't guide people. We can't change people around us, but we can control what we do in our actions ultimately. And Allah will judge us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us based on our actions, not based on the actions of somebody else. So as long as we're taking care of our hearts and we're doing the right thing, I'm sure the people around us, it won't take long for them to change for the better.
And the best way you can give da'wah is just by your character. Mm-hmm. Like Bianca sees you like, oh my God, every single time. Sorry. At the end of this podcast, she's going to be like, ashhadu. Like, you know, when your mom's calling, you put your mom as priority and she's like, bro, like that's just, it's just your mom. Like, why are you having a conversation? Why are you answering? It's like, no, man, like, our moms are something really important in our religion. I got to answer her. Yeah. Or, you know, you're walking past a homeless person, you give that charity every now and then, or you're walking past and you see that rubbish on the floor and you pick it up and Bianca's like, interesting. Like, I'm a human. She's a human. Ah, she's a Muslim. What's the Islam? Subhanallah. In my placement at Kalara, I was doing my fast from Ramadan. So it wasn't Ramadan, but I was fasting. And this girl, she offered me something and I'm like, oh, it's okay, I'm fasting. And then the next day she comes back, actually 2 days later, because she wasn't on here the next day. And she was like, I searched it up at home. You Muslims fast, but is it Ramadan now? I'm like, oh, no, I'm just doing extra fast. So I'm just paying back my fast. And she was like, oh, wow, so you guys fast. She was like, I was like doing research for hours. And I'm like, Allahu Akbar. You know what I mean? Just the fact that you said, no, I'm fasting, that sparked something in them. So pick up that rubbish. And if they ask, like, why are you always picking up rubbish? And it's like, our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that picking up, like, harm from the road is sadaqah. And I'm a broke uni student, so I'm trying to give as much sadaqah as I can in any way. Know what I mean? The best character you can give is through your, like, actions and just passively. Because every, subhanAllah, there's this Qudwa series. It's like role model series by this Kuwaiti guy, I think, on YouTube. And he's interviewing all of these reverts in different, like talking about different topics. And every single time they ask, how did you get to Islam? Oh, I had this friend. I knew these people and I saw this and da 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 da. Like, you can be like to someone, your Lord is one, worship your Lord, and you're like, you're a kufwan, you're going to hellfire. Go and do that. See how far that gets you.
Yeah.
Be that person that embodies the teachings of Islam. Watch how many people will be intrigued by that. It's the best dawah you can give.
Yeah, lead by example. And the Prophet ﷺ, he, a lot of the people that trusted him, even before he was a Muslim, that believed in anything he said, or they could entrust their wealth with him, it's because the Prophet ﷺ had the utmost beautiful character amongst the people of the, you know, Quraysh. And because of his great character, a lot of people were able to trust what he said. They were able to be like, this person, you know, is a sadiq. He says the truth. So for us, we could do a lot of the dawah, like everyday dawah, just purely by our character. And where do we get our character? The best example, the Prophet ﷺ. And how will we get close to him? Education, knowledge. So seeking knowledge. Now, on the point of seeking knowledge, for someone at uni who's already studying, you know, I'm sure Zainab can tell as a first year how overwhelming it is.
4 weeks in, can't do anymore.
It's too hard. How do you manage uni and then at the same time pursue Islamic knowledge and not really, like, I guess, you know, get overwhelmed and throw everything down the window?
I think, like, that once again, it's the way that we look at it. We think that 1 hour of chemistry has the same effect as and takes up the same amount of time as 1 hour of Quran. Isn't time in Allah's hands? How can we see some people and they have a morning and they finish what we get done in a week? And then we see people spend a week on something and get done literally something I could get done in the morning. The Prophet ﷺ says that whoever takes a path of knowledge, like Islamic knowledge, Allah makes their path to Jannah easy. And so an hour of chemistry isn't the same as an hour of Quran. Yes, you have a full-time uni load. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely and place barakah in it and allow you to serve the ummah through that degree. But you're telling me you don't have an hour for Quran once a week? You can even find a teacher in India for $70 a month to give you 5 days a week, 5 hours. You know what I mean? Like, we can't complain about the means and the access anymore. It's a matter that if you, like, as the white people say, like, about that, you know, about the Jonathan, if he wanted to, he would. And if you wanted to, you would. And it's just a matter of, you can start off small. The Prophet ﷺ said that the most beloved deeds to Allah are those that are consistent, even if they are small. Your schedule is your schedule. You know what you are capable of. You know what is close to you. You know what you can do online and what you can go into and all those kinds of things. But I know, like, is your unit per semester 4 units?
We have three subjects.
Three for three subjects.
We have trimesters.
Yeah. It's like, for us, we have 4 units. Worst case, if I can't do 4 units, instead of taking 3 years to finish my degree, why not do 3 units and finish your degree in four years? But as you finish your degree, you could at least have 3 juz of Quran memorized in your heart and knowing with understanding. No, I'm going to finish my degree and then I'm going to... No, you're not. What are you going to be Muslim by that time? Who says you're even going to be alive? So find out where you are. Add on to what you have. Add on 1 hour a week of Quran class. There might be a halaqah that you can go to Friday nights. There might be a Sharia course that you can enroll in, and it's only 2 hours a week. You can go face-to-face or online. There are so many ways you can integrate it into your life. And remember, as a uni student, you're not just a uni student. You're a slave of Allah and you go to uni. But you're a slave of Allah that goes to uni and can also do our Quran class. You know what I mean? Like, until your Quran time is more than your screen time, don't you dare complain and say, literally. The amount of series that you can also access online is crazy. Like, all the sheikhs around you in your local neighborhood, you can access their lessons online. There are so many beautiful books and series and all these things there online. But it's just a matter of you being committed and doing it weekly, or you being committed to going to that class. The second exams get too much or work gets too much, it's like, oh no, I can't go to class this week, I have an exam. Oh man, is that the value your deen has in your hand? Like, that you drop it the second the dunya gets tough, which is opposite to how the Prophet ﷺ told us to look at it. He said to hold your, have your deen on your head and your dunya in your hand, so that when things get rocky, you can hold on to your deen. Drop what's in your hand and hold on to your deen. But we put our dunya on our head and our deen on our hand. So the second things get rocky, we drop our deen and we try and hold on to the dunya. But are you ever going to hold on to the dunya?
No.
Really, you're going to drown in it. So start off consistent and you can do it, because once again, like, start off with that 1 hour a week of Quran class, and wallahi, the barakah you get from it is crazy. Like, I remember, Zainab, before we started, you were like, babes, do you sleep? But subhanAllah, I'm telling you, last semester, like, a usual load is 4 units. Last semester, I took on 6 units, which is like 1.5. Don't ask me why. But I took on 1.5. And I also started my Quran classes last semester. When I tell you, I had more free time than I did in any other semester. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I can't explain it to you how whenever you give up apps, like, we're back to that. How do you, whenever you give up something for the sake of Allah, He will replace it with better. You gave up your time for Allah. You, even though it's out of your way, even though it's not as exciting as sitting at home watching Netflix or doing this and doing that, you gave that up for the sake of Allah. What did He replace it with? He will replace it with barakah in your time. He will actually make what you're studying in uni maybe stick when you hear it, and you don't have to go study it for 7,000 hours. He gives you that focus, and He gives you so much more. So don't look at Islamic studies as something so big that only the people with the big beards can go and study. You can be a student of knowledge, and it all starts from that 1 hour a week of Quran.
And I think it's important what you mentioned, small but consistent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a good deed, a good action, whether small, as long as it's consistent. And the thing that I think is very important for us to highlight and reiterate is the fact that you're a slave of Allah first, and then you're everything else. You're a slave of Allah first, then a uni student, then a son or a daughter or a worker, whatever it is. We need to remember that we are serving Allah at the end of the day, and it's really about priorities. Like you said, you know, the analogy, you're putting your dunya on your head, but you're forgetting that your end goal is the akhirah. You're not going to take your degree to the grave, but your deeds. So making sure that you're holding on to the deen at the same time, because you don't know how long you're going to live. You know,
I think that really comes back to identity as well, because subhanAllah, growing up, I was never something, you know what I mean? Like, I was never that one thing. And even though as much as I tried to make that thing, like, for example, I grew up playing soccer for 13, 14 years. And even though my whole life was soccer and my whole life was playing, there was always someone else better than me. I was pretty good at maths in high school. And even though I was doing 4 unit and I was getting good marks, there was always someone better than me. And I'm very competitive. And then after high school, I really got into the gym and weightlifting, and I was getting like those high PBs and those numbers, but there was always someone better than me. Yeah. And it would that would become my whole life. Like, I was a soccer person, and then gym, especially gym, I don't know what it is. It becomes your whole personality. That's it. As soon as you do something, it becomes your whole personality. And as soon as you let anything besides Islam dictate your personality, you're just, as I said, it's like a tug of war within yourself, and you never ever feel satisfied. But when you put, I'm a slave of Allah first, I don't care who's better than me. I don't care who's out, because I know Allah sees me. And as long as I am trying my best, I am the best, and I am like amazing. But as soon as you like let, for example, uni dictate your personality, you're like limiting yourself. And it doesn't mean that Islam is your personality and khalas, we're all clones of each other. No. You are who you are, and Islam comes and magnifies that, and it beautifies that. For example, if you're someone that likes, I always use this example, Allah will use you. There's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says that everyone has been created easy for what they have been created for. And maybe I'm waffler, and I waffle, and here we are having this conversation, and we're benefiting people, inshallah. Someone else, they are good at arts. And I remember one of my friends was at uni, and she was like doing this calligraphy. It was of Surat al-Ikhlas. And then some white girl, Bianca, came up to her and was like, oh my God, what is that? And she was like, oh, I'm just doing this Arabic calligraphy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh my God, it's so pretty. Can I have it? And she's like, yeah, here you go. And you can take it. Like, I don't know how long it took, like 6 years, a year later, this girl became a Muslim because she was like Surat al-Ikhlas, snatched it up, read the Quran, Bob's your uncle, she became a Muslim. How? Through that girl's art, I can't even draw stick figures, so I will never ever be able to do that. You know what I mean? This other lady, she makes cupcakes. She donated 12 cupcakes to a fundraiser for Gaza. and it ended up auctioning for $1,400. I can't bake cupcakes for the life of me. She did the pretty icings and everything. And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to use her for his deen. You are who you are, and Islam tells you to magnify. And you can see that in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When people came to Islam, he didn't put a warrior in the library, or he didn't put the poet as a gardener. Mm-hmm. Every person had their own spot, and Islam comes and amplifies you based off your skills and who you are. And that's why we're so diverse, and it's not cult-like. But I'm telling you, go meet these teens. They all have the same TikTok personality. They all have the same humor. It's so sad. Like, no one's themselves anymore. They think they are, you know, themselves, and it's always like being you, but it's everything except for themselves. And you're constantly going to be in that tug of war as soon as you let anything dictate who you are and what gives up your time. Be a slave of Allah, and everything else follows. Like, it's... gotta try it. This is like the biggest advertisement.
The biggest advertisement to whether it's Bianca that's listening or anyone out there is be yourself, be a slave of Allah, and inshallah you'll connect with your fitrah and it will only amplify the beauty that Allah has gifted you with. Now we'll move on to a fun round, the rapid fire round, and I hope you're ready for some questions.
Quick questions.
So, number one
that comes to your head.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Cat or dog?
Cat.
UNSW or UCID?
Can I say none of the above?
Benefit. UCID? Okay.
Last machine you had on repeat.
Yeah, I see.
If you could grab one item during a zombie apocalypse as a weapon, what would it be?
I don't know, the wooden spoon. My mom does wonders with it, so sure.
My mom's shoe.
If you look back and think about your past failure or mistake you made that led you to your future success, what would that be?
A lot of words for a rapid fire question.
There's really not to say, grabbing my time for a lot. Like, that's something that brought us, yeah.
Favorite quote or phrase that you think about often?
I don't know, the best of sinners are the ones that repent.
No missed morning ritual that you can't start your day without.
After Fajr, prayer, Azkar.
What Azkar do you do specifically?
Like the morning Azkar set. It's like 15 minutes of like Azkar, and it's your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
They're your best friend. Your life literature. Favorite... Sorry.
It's okay. Favorite bingeable TV show
that you love? That you love?
I really, really enjoyed Jahiliya Days Gossip Girl. But now... Medav and Hamba, there's like this series on YouTube and it's in Fusha with the subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I think so. We have to watch it. Mm-hmm. And then, in terms of the last question, final question, what is one book you recommend each person listening today should read?
I think there's this other one, Heart Therapy by Dr. Ali. I'm using it under my laptop so I can get it out. But it's a good laptop stand and it's a really good book as well.
So that's Heart Therapy by?
Dr. Ali, I think. And it's like 40 hadiths just based off the heart.
Okay, so for anyone that's listening, make sure you get that book. Now, moving on to the next very important topic. I'm sure you've already referenced it already. It's right around the corner. If you haven't guessed it already, it's Ramadan. And you have made a podcast, recent podcast, titled Don't Take Ramadan Lightly, Not This Year, Not Next Year. With Ramadan right around the corner, can you tell us a little bit more about the importance of Ramadan for someone our age?
Ramadan isn't just a month where we fast so we can feel the poor. Much more to that. I grew up thinking it was that, and I was so proud. Like, look at us, we're so cool. We feel for the poor. Why don't you do that? I should stop saying white people. Like, I'm telling you, there are white people out there that are better Muslims than you and I. But anyone can feel for the poor. It's one of the effects of it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fasting has been prescribed upon you the same way it was prescribed upon the people of the past. Why? He subhanahu wa ta'ala says that so you may attain taqwa. And we also know Ramadan is the month where the Quran came down. And so the two main things that you should be thinking of in Ramadan is being God conscious, because that's essentially where your fasting is increasing you in taqwa and the Quran, approaching the Quran, asking for Allah's guidance and really sitting down with it. And in terms of the taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa in Allah, Allah will find them a way out. And that brings it back to giving up something for the sake of Allah. The more taqwa you have, the more easier it is for you to give something up, because Allah will find you a way out. And so that taqwa, see, as the reason why Ramadan doesn't affect us as much is because we see it as an event that starts and ends after 30 days. But Ramadan is like the training ground, that intense boot camp that you need every single year to suffice you for the rest of your journey. In Ramadan, you are giving up your food and water. And inshallah, you're going to be giving up so much more, not only to resume it after Ramadan, but to continue that momentum going because of the taqwa that you built up. Even out, you know, you might decide to stop talking to Muhammad for the month of Ramadan, but you plan to start speaking to him at the end. You know, you might stop listening to music to Ramadan, which is good. May Allah reward you. But at least don't plan on listening to it after Ramadan. Like, whatever you give up in the month of Ramadan, and aim to give up all of your sins in the month of Ramadan, and aim to give it up afterwards as well. We literally plan for our own failure. Like, I'm going to give up music for the next 30 days. Why are you already telling yourself you're going to fail and you're not going to continue it? Who says that you can't? You're telling me in this month, if you give up something for the sake of Allah, and in this blessed month, you ask Allah to keep you steadfast and to help you, He won't help you? Don't plan for your own failure. Allah is there, ready to forgive us, ready to take us to Jannah. But we're the ones that are like, nah, it's fine, I'll go to Jahannam. Come on, man. You can do it. You are giving up food and water. You can give up talking to Muhammad. You can give up listening to music. You know what I mean? Like, you are giving up your basic needs as a human. Needs, not even wants as a human. But as I said, sometimes, you know, it's easier to do the obligatory actions. It's the haram things that you have to give up that is harder. You're giving up food and water, but you can't give up wearing that certain, you know, dress, or dressing that sort of way, or putting on that makeup, or talking to that person. Yeah, and you're telling me that jihad is harder than the jihad of food and water? Mm-hmm. Look at yourself. In this month, it's the month where you just go and you humble yourself to Allah. You give up everything you can, and you pray that He helps you and He keeps you steadfast, because that's how it's going to be long-lasting. And it's Ramadan's not starting and ending after 30 days. It's starting, and it's supposed to suffice you for the years to come. And I think something that we have forgotten about, and something that we neglect, is that time of seclusion with ourselves. Because it's often so rush, rush, rush. Hatta even when you go to Taraweeh, sometimes it's just, you just get distracted by talking to people and that person over there. And, you know, you can spend hours praying at the mosque, but doing an extra 2 rakats of sunnah before Fajr at home is a bit tiring. We need to, you know, like, find that serenity in seclusion. Like, if you're going to make anything your goal this month, it's ask Allah to guide you and have that bit of seclusion with Him. Even if it's 1 hour a week where you just sit in your prayer mat at 4 a.m. before suhoor, and you're just there, like, just speaking to Allah. Like, that, it's priceless. And that's something we should work on as well, inshallah.
I think there's some great pearls of advice to carry through into the coming days of Ramadan. So humble yourself and, you know, remain steadfast and hand yourself over to Allah and let Him take care of you as long as you're sincere in the sacrifice you're making. And with that, I think we can say that we've sort of reached the end of our podcast, but we do have one final question.
Yeah.
We would like you, imagine yourself at the start of 2021 when life took a 360. What was one last piece of advice you would love to leave behind, like a gift of sense to someone who may have been in your shoes 2 or 3 years ago?
Damn. How did you guys know it was 2021?
It's like my whole government ideas on the table.
It gets better. It's hard. It's so hard right now. And especially, it's so foreign to start. You think your whole perception of Islam and being a Muslim was one thing. It's about to change. It's, Raz, listen, it's hard. But just remember. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that if you walk to Allah, He will run to you. Just take that step. I think just take that step and give it up for his sake. And it's hard, but it's worth it.
I think not only was it deep, but I think it was something really meaningful to you through that last piece of advice. And I'm sure it reached someone's heart, someone that's sort of in the same shoes as you.
I think that's all of us. Like, every single born Muslim has to revert to Islam and find it for themselves. Regardless of what environment you grew up in, you need to find Islam for yourself. And once you start that, it's, you have a whole new appreciation for it. You're not just doing it because mom's going to whack me with her shoe if I don't get up and pray. I need my prayer. You know what I mean? Yeah. Same action, different perspective, greater reward and impact.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that concludes our podcast for today. Thank you so much, Raz, for coming over and making this year's very first Sisters episode special. And I think it will only go up from here. And we want, you know, fellow sisters in our Muslim community in Sydney or international one day to come onto this platform and show the Muslim women or sisters out there that you're not alone. There's people like you, there's people that have gone through your journeys and that have had or have a beautiful ending. You could be there one day. It's not that hard. It's like sometimes we look at, you know, everyone around us and we might, you know, get intimidated, but they're just like us, people. And that could be, I guess, for me at least, a parting advice. And that could be the lesson we learned from today, that, you know, Raz is just like you. He is a university student. She is, you know, a daughter, a sister, and most importantly, a slave of Allah. So take her words as special pearls of advice. And may this Ramadan be a life-changing experience for everyone who's listening. So assalamu alaikum, everyone. Until next time.